Welcome to Scrollin', episode number 121. I'm Kat. Joining me, as always, Davis Starjumper. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Get past me. We got more exciting. We got more exciting people to get to here.
Enough of this, yahoo. We have a special guest today. He's the founder and leader of the Xbox NA chapter of the Stoons Goons. He's an official Scrollin' podcast correspondent, an Uncle Boken Sork enthusiast, and a true goon through and through. Everyone, please welcome Dadagon.
What's up, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Fantastic.
What's up, Dadagon? How you doing, man? How you been?
I'm good. Life is good. I did found it with Red. She is the guild lead, just to throw that out there. I am one of the leaders, but she is.
Okay,
she
see,
is
I think
charge.
I'm kind of unclear on the management structure of the Xbox Stoons Goons. You know, they've kind of... It's a much more sophisticated situation on Xbox over there. It's they're kind of putting the PC guild to shame. You know, we've had this guild going for a long time.
They got organized.
How long has the Xbox thing been going? Dadagon, do you know off the top of your head?
It's got to be like 6 months, maybe.
We'll go with that. So in six
that
months' time,
right.
The Xbox chapter of the Stoons Goons has exceeded the member numbers of the PC chapter. So.
Yeah, we're at 145 as of this recording.
I think we might be.
Don't say our number. Don't say it out loud. Don't say it out loud.
Okay, sorry.
We're close to that. It's probably somewhere around that.
Yeah, at least double, triple that easily.
Red says 3 or 4 months, so it may be less than even.
We gotta find a Red for PC. That's what we need. That's Dadagon's trick right there. Is that he started it. He's got Red. Like, she knows how all those guild things work. Like,
I'm gonna start a new Patreon tier that's just for purchasing a gaming PC for Red.
That is unacceptable, and that's a hard veto. Hard veto.
We finally have Dadagon on, and we just convinced Red to switch over. That's our scheme all along.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
Dadagon, I got a handful of questions I want to ask you just to give the people listening an idea of who we're dealing with here, and then we're going to kind of get into the meat of the business here. So, first question, when did you start playing, and what's keeping you around? Why do you keep playing?
Pretty much console release is when I started. I played like WoW back in the day, and I played it recently again, but I wanted an MMO on console. I thought that was cool. I always had a console, so that was the main reason I started playing. And then I would come back to it. It was cool that I could, you know, play something else, come back to Elder Scrolls Online. Don't need to have a subscription if I don't want it, so I don't really pay for anything, so it's still there. So I could just keep coming back over the years. And leaping someone with a controller is one of the most satisfying feelings. And then I met Red and Derp, and then we started this goon site. I messaged you guys, right? I sent an email into a podcast, and things kind of spiraled. And that's kind of like I started because I like MMOs and wanted to play on console. And now it's just I gotta see my friends, gotta see the goons. Like there's always stuff going on. I usually will like message people beforehand and be like, hey, what's going on tonight? So I have something in mind because I don't have nearly as much time to play as I used to when I was younger. Got life stuff to do. So
nice, Ben. Yeah, ESO is great. Is a great kind of home base game that you can kind of dip in and out of here and there. You don't necessarily have to be playing every day. I think that's one of the things that keeps us around for so long too, is it?
Well, for sure. For sure.
If I'm off work and I'm tired, I don't necessarily feel like, you know, getting my heart rate up or anything, I can still just log in and jump around on top of the observation rock and talk to people in Stormhaven or whatever, you know.
Not going to lie, I log in to watch guild chat sometimes. Don't judge me. But it's just like,
oh, dude,
I got 10 minutes totally. And I'm just going to see what's going on in guild chat before I got to go do something. It's pretty cool at this point.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of times. I'll come home after work and I'll log in and I'm have every intention of playing some BGs or whatever, but I'll just end up just talking to people for like an hour and a half, and I look up and it's bedtime, and I didn't actually play at all. You know, happens a lot. All right, Dadagon, next question. So, if you would just briefly tell us a little bit about your main character, and also if you have any alts, maybe tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, so I think I have one of everyone, but a necro, like max leveled, and able to PvP, but I only have three going right now. My main is a DK, wearing Red Mountain front bar, Blood Spawn, Wretched Vitality back bar. I use Ice Staff back bar. Dual wield front bar. Gotta use dual wield front bar because a DK has no execute and I want that execute. So spin to win for sure.
Nice.
I have the Uncle Bokensork, which is just full of stealing kills. And people tell me I still steal kills all the time. I'm like,
dude, I struggle with that phrase also, saying like kill stealing or stealing kills. I always fumble when I say those words back to back every time. I'm glad I'm not alone.
Yeah, that was a struggle.
Securing kills, yes. Oh. Securing derp and stuff. Thank you.
Nice.
Am I doing that? Am I taking kills that aren't necessarily mine? 1000%. And
that's great. Your job, though.
But I'm also doing enough damage to get, like, I'm killing people on my own without that and doing more. But yeah, I'm also stealing kills and it's awesome and people can cry about it.
Yeah, you know, you can't get mad at like a cat for using its claws. You know what I mean? Like a Sork steals kills. That's what they're there for. That's their job. If they're not doing that, then you need to log in with your DK or whatever.
And if we're in a death match and you're on my team, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's part of the team.
Exactly. I get that a lot too. When I'm on my Sork or a Beam Plar, and I'll have teammates even like get mad at me for stealing their kills. I'm like, dude, it's a team effort, homie. You're welcome.
Yeah, I've got a longer story about that that doesn't need to be repeated on the podcast, but. Yeah, some people are get very upset.
Nice. Well, thanks again for being here, Dadagon. Really appreciate it, man. And appreciate everything that you guys do over on Xbox, dude. I'm actually kind of jealous. I'm like, man, I should buy an Xbox just to go like have fun with these people. Seems like they're having a blast over there. The Guild Hall looks awesome. Who is it?
Guild Hall's amazing.
That's Matt, man. That's insane. He's also got an insane number of champion points, but that's a whole different story.
Nice. All right, well, let's move on and get into the subject matter here. So last week was the final week of the public test server for Update 41, which is hitting next week on PC, a couple of weeks later for console. And it's very rare, but it does occasionally happen where there's a significant patch note in those week 5 patch notes. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the most significant thing of the whole PTS cycle here. So the one and only thing they did was they went ahead and did it. They adjusted the torque of the last Aeliad King, this new mythic. So that's the new one that it disables all of your set piece bonuses. And the original version on week 1, it gave you those 3 20% bonuses, right? Well, no more. No longer does that. Now, a heads up, if you're reading the week 5 patch notes, they're actually not accurate. I think they printed maybe like an earlier version that they had at one point, but if you actually log into the PTS and look at this thing there, this is what it says. This is what it does. So it gives you 1,337 weapon and spell damage. It gives you 693 magicka and stamina recovery and 8% damage mitigation. I've been just kind of obsessively crunching the numbers with this thing and just kind of coming up with every imaginable scenario you might possibly use this thing for, all kinds of different builds. My conclusion conclusively is this thing is awesome. It's very, very good. And they really adjusted it even better than what I was suggesting on the last episode. This is way better than that. Way better.
I feel like that when you actually do a breakdown of what the final stats are on Betsy, it truly highlights just how, can we say overpowered? Can we go that overpowered this thing is?
I'm looking at it. It's nuts. Those numbers are nuts.
The numbers are nuts. I don't know if I would say overpowered though.
It's close. It's hitting with it. It's flirting with overpowered.
The thing, because of the penalty it gives you, I feel like it kind of does need to be borderline overpowered, you know?
That's true.
So it's a difficult thing because it's such a severe penalty, you know? And even with it being this powerful, we'll talk about here in just a little bit, there's lots and lots and lots of situations where you absolutely would not want to use it, you know, even with it as it is right now. So there is room. They very well could nerf it, and it would still be very good. But I hope they don't, because I think it, like I said, I think it does need to be very good for people to even consider using it at all. So just to kind of frame some of these numbers, I give a little perspective on them a little bit. 1337 weapon and spell damage, that's about the value of two entire five-piece sets. If they were to give you nothing but weapon and spell damage, that's basically two full five-piece sets right there. 693 magicka and stamina recovery, that's as if you were wearing Wretched Vitality and the two-piece Roxa monster set, both combined. Right? That's that amount of recovery.
Are you sure it's not flirting with overpowered? No, I'm just
kidding. Well, I feel like the thing that kind of does rein it in a little bit is that they lowered that damage mitigation way down to 8%. That's actually not a ton, you know?
Yeah, that's not a lot.
It's a reasonable amount, still a good amount. But yeah, a ton of weapon spell damage, a ton of magicka and stamina recovery. That 8% damage mitigation falls just short of like what the Fortified Brass five-piece set would give you. I think that's like around 9 to 10% mitigation total, what that gives you. But still, you know, it's like we have like four five-piece sets plus a monster set plus an arena weapon, you know, like that amount of value in this one thing.
It's more mitigation than dual wield from Black Rose, yeah?
Yeah.
That's true. That gives you 6% mitigation, yep. But it also gives you the damage. So
yeah, 6% damage buff, 6% mitigation.
So yeah, what you guys were alluding to, I kind of put together a little test build for Betsy just to see what the stats would look like. I'll tell you guys right now, this is going on Betsy right away as soon as I can get my hands on it.
If it stays how it is.
If it stays how it is. So, you know, I put a build together. I make some adjustments to get everything where I like it. And where the stats end up, 8,276 spell damage. I'm going to say that again, 8,276 spell damage. Dumb.
That's starting with an 8.
It starts with the number 8, and that's only self-buffed. That's not with any teammates giving me any extra stuff or whatever.
Yeah, wow.
And that's with over 2,200 stamina recovery, over 1,600 magicka recovery. That's where I am right now on those stats. 34,000 max health. My resists would be around 22K, which is a little on the low side.
But you have the damage mitigation.
That doesn't reflect the mitigation that I'm getting from the mythic. That doesn't reflect my major evasion. Betsy's used to running pretty squishy anyway. You know, like lately she's been a little bit on the tanky, brawly side. This is actually going to kind of balance her back to kind of how she used to be, where she's balanced a little bit more towards damage and sustain and is a little bit more on the squishy side, which is actually how I prefer her to play.
Is that with major and minor resolve?
Yes, that is with both of those active. These stats are all coming from the build editor where all those things are permanently activated.
Okay, yeah.
So, if we were to compare that to Betsy's current build, that's Deadly Strikes, Wretched Vitality, Black Rose Dual Wield, Sithis Helm, One Piece Magma. So I compare, you know, her current build to this Aeliad King setup, and basically I would end up losing 3,500 max health and about 4% damage mitigation. So I'll be a little bit squishier, but I gain quite a bit of damage, actually. I gain an astronomical amount of healing power. I mean, I'm going from 6,400 spell damage to 8,200 spell damage. I mean, the healing power is going to be through the roof.
Yeah.
Plus, I use the Gaze of Sithis right now, which means I can't block. With this thing, I can block again. You know, so I lose a little bit of max health, I lose a little bit of mitigation, but I make up for it with a ton of healing power plus the block button. I'm actually probably going to be more survivable, I think, you know. Plus I'm going to have my damage is going to be quite a bit more too, so I'll be pressuring people more so they won't be able to kind of come at me as hard. It's going to be good. It's going to be very good. And by the way, I could get that max health and that mitigation back if I wanted to. If I just ran five heavy pieces, that would put me right back at the exact same max health that I have right now, which is 37,000. It would put me right back at the exact same resistance that I have right now, which is around 27,000-28,000. And I would still have 7,800 spell damage.
Holy cow.
And 2,000 stamina recovery.
That may be the way I would do it, is because you're only losing 400 spell damage and you'd be... Holy cow,
yeah.
this thing is wild.
I think that's actually what a lot of people will end up doing. Just run a heavy armor setup and you're going to be golden. You know, I don't like to play that way. I'll probably just go ahead and be a little squishier, have a little more recovery, a little more damage. But that'll be an option. That'll be a great option.
It won't be hard to test out because you don't have to, like, get whatever you want. in the different. Yeah. Right? Like, it doesn't have to be a specific thing. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to, like, put my build together for this thing. I'm absolutely going to craft the pieces, but it's just going to be like non-set pieces.
Yeah. And that's the thing I feel like with this thing is that once you have it, throwing a build together is going to be pretty darn easy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about. I actually had this idea of like a cool kind of play style you could have with this thing. Davius, your main character, Davius Starjumper, your Templar, would actually be a great candidate for this because he has like every skill point possible in the game. He has like every ability unlocked. So like, imagine you had this mythic and you just had kind of a wide assortment of various armor weights and traits and different weapons and all kinds of stuff in your inventory. And you decide, okay, this match, I'm going to be a sword and shield tanky kind of bruiser guy. This match, I'm going to be a roly poly bow build. This match, I'm going to be a dizzy swing build. You know, like you can just fly, just do whatever you want.
Could have five different builds on that character.
Yeah, just swap pieces in and out as you please. Just don't even think about, you know, anything really other than just, okay, I need another medium piece or whatever.
Wow, that is a really cool idea.
No, I like that idea. If you spend any time in the no proc Cyrodiil campaigns or Imperial City campaigns, I think you have to have this thing. That if they leave it like it is right now, I think you will not be able to compete against people who do have it if you don't have it yourself.
So I'm not sure I know where I have a like where I stand on this.
Oh yeah, I see the concern for sure.
So let's imagine little Timmy is this no proc, like loves no proc, has his stuff set up, all his gear, whatever, but isn't allowed to buy the new chapter.
I don't think that's the case for this. This so remember, this is not a chapter. This is a small DLC, and
so everyone will have access.
So that, I think that's not actually super clear right now. I've been trying to find lead information online, and it's just not available yet. But I did come across a forum post. I think I can't remember where I saw it, but somewhere I did see someone say that the leads are all available in the base game, but I'm not able to confirm that. So I'm not really sure.
I like that.
Yeah. I would say this. I have to ask you all this.
Grizzly Khan says, pretty sure it's base game. Sorry, go ahead, Davies.
Yeah, that's a good stamp of approval if Grizzly Khan says so. Shout out, Grizzly Khan. But I got to ask you all this. Do you think it will go live with this current setup? Like, no more adjustments. You think it's going live with this? And I know we're very, very, you know, we're at the tail end of the PTS. So if they do change it, there's not a lot of time, but.
Yeah, I do. I do think so. And I think even if they do consider it to be a little overpowered, you know, they've been known to do that. Like, yeah, let's let it be overpowered at first and then we'll nerf it later.
Get some popularity to it. I don't know. Is there danger in making something so simplified that popular? And this is coming from a rabid Oaken Soul fan. So keep that in mind. But like, I don't know. Like, is there concern with nullifying the effect of sets? And, you know, that's kind of what the game's, it's kind of a big part of it.
Yeah, there are concerns. There are definitely concerns. I've talked to lots of people that have that exact concern. Like, this is the end of theory crafting as we know it. You know?
Just throw the one piece on.
But only if you want it to be. It's your choice.
Yeah, only if you want it to be. And there definitely will be lots of situations where this is not applicable. It's definitely not the end of theory crafting. That much is for sure. For one thing, like I was saying earlier, like in any kind of group situation, you know, it's not going to apply there. This is a fully selfish thing. This is not going to give you any kind of synergy, give anything to your group whatsoever. If we're getting a pre-made together on a Friday night and we're queuing up for some sweaties and we know we're going to be going up against some other really good teams, this thing will be a detriment. You know, you don't want anyone on your team with this thing, you know, there. Any kind of bombing build, you know, those all rely on very specific proc sets that you have to have. Sets like Plague Break, you know, Dark Convergence, Rush of Agony. There's no substitute for those sets. If you want to use a build that utilizes those mechanics, those sets have to be involved. Mara's Bomb, like defensive sets like Mara's Bomb or Sisters or Weird Tree or something like that. Yeah, again, you know, it's not easy to replace those sets with just like raw stats. Those sets are things that kind of like happen automatically and really bail you out in a clutch situation. lots and lots of incentives to make these traditional kind of, you know, builds using sets and stuff. People like you seeing the flashy effects and the procs and all that stuff. People like being creative with their builds, and they're going to continue to do so. There are purists out there, like myself, that really like stat-focused builds. And, you know, I make stat builds knowing that I'm kind of taking a little bit of a hit. You know, I'm not as effective as I could be if I weren't such a purist. You know what I mean? And that's just a choice that I'm making. And there's other people that do that, but there's still lots and lots and lots of room for actual theory crafting. Like Stormhaven, the duelers in Stormhaven, you know, they're going to be after the very best possible dueling setup. That's not going to be this. I can guarantee you that. So there's lots in theory crafting. You know, Oaken Soul brought about a lot of similar concerns. A lot of people were saying a lot of similar stuff when that came around, and we can clearly see now that fits right into the game perfectly. You know, appeals to a certain kind of player. You know, you get this kind of limitation, but it also frees you up in a lot of ways as well, and I think this is a similar kind of thing.
You guys taking groups to no proc IC?
We might. I tell you, there's a much stronger chance that I'll actually join those no proc campaigns now, because if I'm doing some Battlegrounds and this is my build with Aliad King, and then shout out to Gummy Bear, he does a lot of no proc. If he hits me up and says, hey, let's jump into no proc Cyrodiil, you know, my build's ready. I'm ready to go right now. You know, I don't have to find some special build.
Get some transmutes along the way.
Yeah, exactly. Could also be really great for werewolves. If you think about like a werewolf, they're kind of balanced for the fact that they don't have a back bar, but this kind of gives them a back bar. Like is at least it gives them the stats as if they had a back bar set that's getting proc'd or something like that, you know?
I hadn't thought about that on a werewolf. I could see some pretty nasty werewolves with these kind of stats.
I think it will be excellent on a werewolf. I've talked to a couple of werewolf mains that think it's going to be pretty good too. Yeah, so bad for groups. I think it would be bad for just generally any support build. You're not going to want to use it. The Arcanist class, I think, would not want to use it. Generally, they kind of have a hard time killing things without using proc sets to kind of supplement their damage. So I think they would not really be interested in a thing like this. But what about you guys? I want to know if you guys are interested in this. Duddagon, are you going to farm this thing out or what?
Maybe. If people want to do like no proc IC and like get like a real group, I would consider it because I don't love bombers. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't think this is high on my list of things to do come the release of this.
See, there's a perfect example. You know, you're not interested. So, you know, it's not the end of theory crafting.
There you go.
What do you think, Davius?
So, you know, I've gone all in on Oaken Soul, so it's tough for me to say that I'm going to make a non-Oaken Soul build, but I probably will farm this just to have it. I keep staring at that 8,200 spell damage, and like
so
I can't
much.
Look away. It's I can't
so
look
much.
Away from that with 2,200 recovery. Man, that's so much spell damage.
Yeah, it's so hard to reach that number with the rest of your stat sheet looking as good as this does.
I'm changing answer. Are you guys, hold on. Are you guys farming it like right away?
Oh yeah. That's going to be like probably my first day off. That's what I'm going to be spending my day doing. Yeah.
And I got 2 weeks, right? Till it releases on Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not making any decision until you guys tell me how good it is.
Okay.
Good plan. That's my answer.
I bet you I farmed this in the first week for sure. Just to test it out. I just want to see those. I just want to see those numbers on one of my characters. And I do think it could be fun. Like you said, it's not going to be good for team builds, but it could be fun for some just goofy group BGs where everybody's throwing one of these on there. Or like you said, no proc IC.
Or if we have a guild event, like our Goon Wars that we do. Okay, the rule is everybody has to wear this mythic.
Everybody's got to wear that. Actually would be a fantastic Goon War. That would be awesome.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to farm this. You guys have made me change my answer like six times. Because we're doing our first Goon Wars this weekend, so this could definitely be something fun for a Goon Wars.
Could be super fun.
I like that idea.
Yeah, because I've always toyed with this idea of like, okay, I'd love to have a guild event where we only just bring, you know, Rubidite gear, no sets allowed. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of hard to get people interested in that, you know, like A lot of people have a hard time getting on board with that, but this maybe they could.
I'll tell you what, this is the perfect opportunity. We have a Goon Wars. Everybody wears double stoons. Double stoons in this. It's going to happen. It's finally,
it can finally come to pass. That's great. Finally, that's finally a viable build that we can do.
Double stoons and the torque.
Let's do a quick recap of all the stuff that's on the PTS that we're looking forward to coming up in this patch. Of course, we're getting the content itself, these two new dungeons. As far as combat balance goes, the big thing is the status effect rebalance. Basically, status effects are generally getting buffed across the board. Major, minor, vitality, and defile now apply to damage shields. They were also slightly nerfed. The Arcanist Beam was nerfed. Their status effect passive was nerfed. The Dragon Knight's combustion passive was buffed to 40% instead of 33%. Necros now have this new sacrificial bone, the self-blast bones thing that I'm very curious to try out and see it in action and see what people are able to come up with for it. Nightblade's end cap is getting buffed, basically. Concealed weapon no longer gives Major Berserk. It has like a unique 20% buff that only applies to itself now, but it also gives you the minor expedition on both bars. Siphoning Strikes is getting reworked. I think it's being buffed. I've heard some Nightblade mains say they think it's getting nerfed, but honestly, I have a hard time thinking that you're not going to get more value out of this thing most of the time. I'm not a Nightblade main, I know, but scrollingpodcast@gmail.com, tell me why I'm wrong.
Tell us now.
I mean, I understand that, like, you know, some numbers are, you know, lower perhaps, but I think it's just going to be so much easier to be benefiting from this thing most of the time than it was before.
Yeah.
Sorcerers, this is the sorcerer patch, pretty much. We're going to be seeing a ton of sorcerers. They're getting that new AoE burst heal that they've been asking for so long, but they're not actually going to use because their damage shield is being buffed by quite a bit. Getting that really awesome heal attached to it. One of the morphs of the mines now applies a damage shield to allies instead of damaging enemies. And then their expert summoner passive was changed so that it now gives you either max health or max stamina and magicka, depending on whether you have a pet active or not. Some really cool stuff for Sorcs.
Yeah.
Good time to be making a Sorc or to be making a build to counter Sorcs. I would be really just, Sorcs should be in your mind somehow when you're preparing for the next patch. Inner Beast, the taunt, is now a spammable as well as a taunt. It's pretty cool. Master's Dual Wield finally got its nerf. It scales with your stats like all the other proc sets. Really awesome. Executioner deals bleed damage. The Dual Wield Ultimate applies the hemorrhaging status every tick. The Vampire spammable and the Werewolf Pounce abilities always apply hemorrhaging now. And we're getting a bunch of new sets. We're not gonna name them all, but of course the new mythic we just talked about. We're getting Oak Father's Retribution, aka Oak Daddy. Is shout out to Sir Newbie. He's I don't know if he coined that himself, but I heard him say it. It's hilarious. We're kind of overshadowing that with the talk of the new mythic, but that will be a great set. The Oak Father set.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be a great just kind of bread. You know how right now Five Pieces Shattered Fate is kind of the, I don't really know what my front bar set should be. We'll just do Five Pieces Shattered Fate, and that's going to work pretty good. I think Oak Father is going to be the new thing that is that. I know you guys both are actually looking forward to the Anthelmere's Construct.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Going to be great.
Hope so. You've seen it. I still have yet to utilize it, so.
I was really excited about it, and then Ket tested it live for me, and I feel even better about it. I will say that.
Yeah, it seems good. It seems very good. And I know Dudagon has some ideas about it that he's going to talk about here in a little bit. That other monster set, too, I actually haven't heard many people talk about it. I think there might be maybe a cooldown that is not stated in the description there, but the one that gives you the damage shield and the minor force. A lot of people were really concerned that was going to be super overpowered at first, but I've heard the chatter around that die down quite a bit, which makes me think that testing has shown that it's really not all that big of a thing.
Mm.
And yeah, that's the recap. Anything I missed?
No.
I think that's it, but that's a lot of stuff.
For a Q1 dungeon DLC, it's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
All right, what are we most looking forward to? Dudagon, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to shout out Derp on this one and ask Red to not throw up, but I'm excited to actually go into this new dungeon to get Anthelmere's. Like, I want to get it, but I don't PvE a lot, and I've never gone in and gotten, like, the new monster set, you know, without it getting on Golden first. So, like, I think it'll be cool. Feel like a super PvE-er and hopefully blow some people up.
We heard it here live, Duddagon PvE main. He's a dungeon runner.
I teabag bosses. That's all I'm saying.
That's funny. Star Jumper, what are you looking forward to, man?
I'm gonna hit a quick 1-2-3. Not in this necessarily in this order, but the Master Dual Wield nerf, Anthemiel's Construct, and then randomly I'm gonna throw this one in there, but the Executioner switch into bleed damage. I'm really pumped about that. I think there's gonna be some cool theory crafting with that.
Yeah, that is kind of a random one to pick, but you're right. That is an interesting new little option that's in there. Might be a secret kind of sleeper thing that picks up. You never know. For me, obviously.
All right, you got to tell us yours. We don't even need to ask. We know.
I mean, yeah, obviously the new Mythic. I'm just super psyched about that. I'm also just psyched about the, I feel like this is the first patch we've had in a long time that really is going to change some stuff about the meta and the landscape and the kinds of builds you're going to run into out there. It feels like it's actually finally going to give us a new, fresh situation to have fun in. I think we're going to see some build diversity. I think a lot of the changes that are happening are going to result in some unexpected things happening, like, you know, Sorcs are getting buffed, so of course there's going to be a lot of Sorcs, but I think as a result, there's also going to be a lot of Wardens to counter the Sorcs. I think status effects are getting buffed so much, so we'll see a lot of those kinds of builds, but in response to that, we'll probably see a lot of Templars as well. I just feel like the things that are changing are kind of being nudged in such a way that's going to promote a lot of build diversity and a lot of different kind of class representation and that kind of stuff. I'm looking forward to just seeing what the landscape looks like. I guess that's the thing I'm looking forward to the most. White Strikes Mayhem. Is it still going on? Yeah, it's still going on, right? Or not?
No, I think it ended today.
It's over. It's over. I knew that.
Over today.
It was just this morning. But it was pretty fun while it lasted. We normally just do a lot of Imperial City. You know, we kind of just, at least for me, I just do Battlegrounds all the time until White Streaks Mayhem hits, and then it's Imperial City time. And it's pretty much what we've been doing, especially on the weekends. We've been doing like a blue group on Friday, a red group on Saturday, and a yellow group on Sunday. How we've been doing it. Usually just small groups, super fun. I think I made like in the ballpark of like 200k Telvar, which I know is small potatoes compared to some, but I'm happy with that.
It's a lot of Telvar.
Yep, a lot of Telvar.
Yeah, a lot of Telvar.
A lot of fun times with goons. You know, everyone's just like real laid back. You know, we're not super sweaty, but you know, we had some really good fights. I found that the second campaign that they opened up was the more fun one. Not as many Zergs, but still very populated and some actually like good manageable fights where you're not swarmed by like 1,000 freaking people.
Well, I'm curious to your guys' feedback. I feel like that, and maybe it's just in my head, but I feel like that the BGQ has been popping a little quicker.
Oh yeah.
Through White Strikes.
Oh yeah. It's also a very good time to be doing some group queues because that's like one of the few times the queues actually pop pretty good.
Yeah. It's a lot of, I felt like that for the solo and for the group, but yeah, it was a lot of PvP, just a good time for PvP.
Yeah, and you also get kind of a more, like, wide variety of skill levels in a match, you know, which kind of makes it kind of fun, you know, because, like, you know, when you're regulars that play, like, every single day and you run into a lot of the same players and, you know, most of them are pretty good, you know, so you're having to work really hard for every fight. But now you get into these games during this event and it's a mix, you know, some people are really good, some people are really, really, really good, some people not so much, you know, and it's just you kind of have a
good balance.
You get a really exhilarating experience because you kind of got the whole spectrum there. You know, you almost got your butt kicked. You did get your butt kicked. You killed a few people yourself. You know, you kind of had the full range. So, Duddagon, any White Strikes experiences that stand out to you?
Honestly, I've been on my healer a bunch. We did IC, and sometimes you need two healers. So
I have
a Templar healer that I've been running around on.
What faction did you guys run on?
Careful.
We're yellow.
Ah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, goodness. I need a break now, okay? I need an actual.
It's a different server.
That's her. That's right.
I don't know. I've always been yellow. I don't know. I think because like when I first started, the race I wanted to be had to be yellow.
How many Nords?
I have zero Nords. I'm quite bored of Nords.
Oh, jeez. Oh, goodness. I'm trying to.
You know what? This episode's gone on long enough.
But yeah, we did some IC on yellow, bunch of BGs and stuff. We did some of these like 12-man things. Like we didn't do Goon Wars, but we got 12 people into a party. I randomly assigned, you know, three groups, and we went in and, you know, had a match or two.
Nice.
So that's always a lot of fun.
Pre-Goon Wars to see if people liked it. And, you know, if you can get 12 people on, like, when we were just doing a solo queue to do it, I think we can get 12.
Well, heck, I mean, you posted the signups today, and it was like 10 out of 12 full in like 2 minutes or less. I mean,
well, the first six were officers, and I knew that they were all going to be there beforehand. And then two of the friends were very, very quick, I would say, before we even announced it, they had shouted out that they were
interested. I just want to point out that the PC goons do not have officers. That's just the disparity. How much you guys have surpassed us at this
point. Golly, their organization level is just like, through the roof.
Okay, I really thought I had a guild here, but no, I'm learning that I did not.
It makes it a lot easier to have people to talk to and hang out with about it, especially when stuff goes down. Like if there's actual drama or stuff, having a group of people to get kind of all sides and take some of the slack off everybody is quite nice.
I do have a group of people that I like bounce ideas off of and like ask for feedback. I guess I don't really call them officers, but we could think of them that way. They don't really have any real authority, but it's like I've designated, I trust your opinions on things. What do you think about this idea?
Well, as we grew, we realized we couldn't have everyone have invite privileges.
Yeah.
So that's the like the main difference.
I see.
From that, like, perspective from like the whatever they're called
permissions,
there you go, permissions. Yeah,
Kat, how's that redheaded monster PC fund going? Can we check in on
that? We need a redhead monster over here. Well, let's talk about some builds. Dedagon, you're our guest, so I understand you have a melee Sork that you kind of have partially thought out, and you want to talk that out a little bit here today. Is that right?
Yeah, so I actually have it set up. Using the armor, which Xbox players do have, I made my new build to kind of get it going. But the idea is I want to hit you with Curse, or Prop Crystal Weapon, hit you with Curse, Streak, and at this point, fully charged Heavy Attack into Spin to Win. So here's a question. How much does a regular spammable do to in a regular PvP match on average, do you think?
Maybe 4,000 or 5,000.
Yeah, so let's say it's 4K.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So if I'm able to get Crystal Weapon, Curse, a Heavy Attack with Anthem Mirrors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Spin to Win to go at the same time, it's like 20K?
It could be some really good burst.
Yeah.
And then if you add Shriek plus the Enchant, that's like 24K minimum with no crits. And then if you hit Crystal Weapon, Curse, Meteor, Shriek, Heavy Attack, Spin to Win, you're adding another Meteor, like another big thing in there. I just don't know if when you streak, can I get that Heavy Attack off before that person is gone?
I think you should do the Heavy Attack before the streak, because then with that Anthem Mirror, that streak's going to immediately pick up that axe for you.
Right, but my thought is I'm using dual wield, right? So I'm going to not be able to hit them.
Gotcha.
Uncle Sam says unlikely. Right. Yeah, I think there's a good chance they're going to end up dodging out of that. Because when you break a stun, pretty much everyone breaks and dodges, like, simultaneously, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you might miss a lot of the time.
So how are you saying you're thinking to go when you use Anthem Mirrors, you'll use a ranged weapon and streak through?
Yeah, I do think that is I do think that's the way to go, because then you could at least at the beginning, not necessarily even start, but at least at the beginning of your combo, you can have that Heavy Attack with the additional damage of Anthem Mirror.
Okay.
And then you're finishing your combo by, one, you'd stun, pick up the axe, and then you could potentially, with that stun, finish him off.
So I also thought about doing some sort of bow sort and using, you know, crystal weapon, like haunting crystal weapon, haunting curse, heavy attack with the bow, streak into them, could throw meteor in there as well. Okay,
I think that would work really well.
Okay, so it's not a melee sork.
I'll throw this out there too. Another thing that has really appealed to me, and as a mainly Oaken Soul player, like I probably won't go down this route, but I definitely think it's worth looking into, is if you do want to go Anthelmere with a melee build, I would do the Vadishran two-hander.
100%. No way that doesn't go on the back bar. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be a stacked burst on top of the heavy attack, on top of the Anthelmere, and that's going to be a really heavy amount of burst all at once.
Could also put Ashen Grip on there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I went through, I have all these sets because...
All these approved sets.
So, yeah, no, Vate makes sense. You could even do, if I was going to do this and I wanted to have Wretched, I could go Wretched front bar, Vate back bar, and agility, like three-piece agility. Okay, this you guys have completely changed.
Hopefully in a good way, not completely.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to go in there, but like, this is going to work perfectly, and everyone's dodging. I'm like, what's happening? It doesn't work. Like, no. So, like, yeah, that's why I brought this here, so someone could be like, that's not really going to work.
You could even go with your original idea, no problem, and just not use streak necessarily as part of the combo. You know, you still have streak slotted, but it's just not necessarily part of the combo. It would still work.
Thinking like back bar, vigor, hurricane, crit surge. What for those last two spots?
Dark deal and damage shield.
You think dark deal and damage shield?
Yep.
You think dark deal over?
Yes.
The new
whatever the other thing is, yes.
Yeah, dark deals always.
Dark deals non-negotiable in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. It's always a safe bet on the bar for sure.
David Starjumper, you have you want to talk about your Stam DK Lord of Nords, give us a little update and kind of take stock of what's going on with him.
You know, we're in the year of leaping, so I've got to talk Lord of Nords. You know, we're in the leap year.
That's true. It is a leap year.
The whole year is dedicated to just leaping. So it's definitely the year of leaping. Yeah, my Stam DK, he's actually who I've been playing almost exclusively, I would say, in BGs here recently. Just mainly, you know, this is my main, so I want to make sure I'm really comfortable kind of getting a good feel for him going into the new update and kind of making sure that just to test things out, see how he's going to do. I will say, just to start off, I'm a little worried about him. I've said this before. He already struggles with dots, so with all of this status effects, I don't have a good easy cleanse on him. I don't have a way to do it other than just hoping a Templar is on my team, so I do have some concerns there. But just a reminder of the build, it's the Oaken Soul Ring, 5-piece Basalt Blooded Warrior, which is that specific DK set, 2-piece Blood Spawn, the Black Rose Dual Wield, and then 1 Trainee, 1 Druid. And before I go into the bar here, I actually have made a slight change. I've swapped out an ability on Lord of Nords.
Stop the presses.
Yeah, everybody calm down a minute. Everybody calm down. Not a huge change, but I actually swapped out the spin to win spammable. I've actually gone back to Noxious Breath.
Oh, okay.
I feel good about this change. I've got a lot of reasons for it, but
hey, that AoE breach is really nice for team play.
Yeah, and really, you know, shout out Uncle Sam. I was doing some BGs with him, and that's really, I was already thinking about it and doing some BGs with him. We kind of helped. He provided clarity to me that the goal of this build is really just to be a full on brawler on the team. The goal of this build is not to get kills. It is not a kill count to type of build. It's to get in the fight, take a lot of hits, you know, really be upfront in the damage and just apply pressure. And that's really where the Noxious Breath makes a lot more sense for the build. It applies the dot, it applies the major breach, it still does AoE. It's actually a slightly harder hitting AoE due to the DK passive that makes their poison damage abilities deal a little bit additional damage.
Helping you with sustain by applying poison status.
Yep, the sustain is a little bit better, and the biggest part is that it's the, for me, it's the dot and the major breach. With this build being that team brawler helping with pressure, that dot and applying major breach to the entire enemy group that easily with the AoE, it's just such a better team brawler setup. This build's not a high damage, high kill count, and so it's just a lot more helpful to the team than that spin to win was. And it really, overall, like in the testing, the damage numbers have gone up a lot. Like, it's a lot more damage, a lot less kills, which is exactly what this build should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm laughing at Sam there with the top rope leaps. Always with the top rope leaps.
Yeah, it's so important for like Oaken Soul builds. Like, what is my purpose? You know, yeah. You really just have to focus in on that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I want to dive into, is the bar to me really is covering a lot more ground now. So just to kind of go over that bar setup, it's the Noxious Breath, Deep Breath, Cinder Storm, Coagulating Blood, Quick Cloak, and of course the Leap. And just to kind of dive in those a little bit more, like the spammable Noxious Breath, you know, it's AoE damage. I'm throwing out a lot of damage. It's putting a dot on there for more pressure. It's applying Major Breach to all the enemies. So it's covering a lot of ground for me with just one ability, which, as you just said, that's important for an Oaken Soul build. Like, you need to get multiple purposes out of each kind of ability slot that you have. And then going on to the Deep Breath, like, that's the delayed burst. It's that additional timed burst that you can time with other abilities. But the other side of that Deep Breath is that it's a really good additional heal. You heal for, I don't remember exactly off the top of my head, but it's a high percentage of the damage back. Like, it's over 100% damage comes back as a heal. Mm-hmm. And then going into the Cinder Storm, very powerful hot. It actually allows me to throw a hot on teammates. This is not a huge like heal build, but it is nice to be able to at least have something to throw on teammates to help out a little bit.
Yeah, and that hot is no joke, too.
Yeah, it's a very strong
hot. Plus, it's a really strong snare, so it's kind of keeping them in this little safety bubble in a way.
Yep, exactly that. So that's kind of the next thing. It's really strong hot, 70% speed reduction, and this is the key piece. This is the ability that procs the Basalt Warrior set. So it's covering a lot of ground. Coagulating Blood. Insanely strong heal. Just insanely strong. Actually, Uncle Sam and Chad, he made a great point. The Cinder Storm also providing minor brutality to the build, so increasing overall damage.
Giving that minor brutality to your team, not just you.
Yeah, that's true. And that Cinder Storm, I have the infused. One of the jewelry pieces is infused with the cost reduction, so it's basically just a free ability. If you ever see me running on this build, I am just constantly spamming Cinderstorm everywhere I'm running. It is just on the ground everywhere I go.
That's a great habit to have, honestly.
Yeah. And then lastly, the Quick Cloak that finishes out the bar. We've talked about this ability, how much we both love this ability. Major Evasion, Major Expedition. It's an AoE pulse, and it's procking the Black Rose. They're just getting so much out of that ability.
Keeping your glyphs procced on cooldown.
Absolutely. And so it's really a slight change to the build with the Noxious Breath, but it kind of fully brought the build together. Every single ability on that bar is accomplishing multiple things for the build, kind of juggling different things that the build needs, and then finishing it out. You know, you got to have the Leap. I definitely get multi-use out of the Leap. It's a high damage. It can be the execute, but it's just as much as an offensive ability. It's just as much that as a defensive ability. It truly is the reset button. If a fight's going south, you throw the Leap out there, it's a full reset button. You're getting resources back. You're getting sustain. You've thrown out damage. You've stunned you've stunned whoever you're fighting, and you just kind of start over. Keep going. And with this build, with the Oaken Soul and the Basalt Blooded Warrior, you're getting the Leap very, very often. I think me and you have talked, but this build averages getting a Leap about every 20 seconds.
It can't be overstated how key the Leap is to the success of the build. Yeah, I mean, it really is.
It's the whole purpose of it. It's everything. But yes, I just love the build. I mean, like I said, I've been playing on it a lot lately, but I've just, every time I, this is my version of your old Betsy. Every time I'm on the build, fall more in love with it. And it's a true, I was talking in this in chat the other day, but it's a true DK build in the sense that like the best way for this build to survive is just to continue to fight.
Keep fighting.
The second this build retreats or backs up or tries to get better position, like
wrong move.
That's where it gets exposed. The most powerful, the most tanky it ever is if it just continues to stay in the fight. Just keep fighting, stay on offense.
DKs run towards the danger.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so, yeah, just loving the build. Like I said, with its current setup, I was thinking about this. I don't know if I'll ever change this build. It's just perfect. It's the perfect just leap. You know, Lord of Leap and Lord of Nords, and we're in the leap year. It would be very, very difficult for me to change the setup on this build. We'll just have to see. We'll have to see how it does without that cleanse, but it's in a really, really good spot right now.
I think it'll be okay, honestly. It'll be fine.
As long as I got the leap, we'll be good.
Well, I'll finish this out here. I have a build to talk about, which is Butch Mahoney. He's my other Templar, my range Templar. He's also an orc. And I've settled on him once and for all. I think he is finally just a ranged Templar. You know, I have old Betsy. She's my main. She's a kind of your classic melee jab spamming Templar. And Butch has been on my roster here. I've had a hard time actually finding a build for him that doesn't make me just want to bounce right back over to Betsy, you know. And I've tried range Plar lots of times. I've tried a lot of different variations of range Plar, and it just has never clicked with me. I've always bounce off of it really quick. It just seems bland. I can't quite explain it. It just doesn't really click with me. But I finally have found a build that actually I like quite a bit. I think it largely has to do with the fact that I found a bar setup that feels good. But anyway, the gear setup is orders. You guys are going to laugh at this build, by the way. It's the most Ket Sparrowhawk build possible. It is Orders Wrath as a double bar set, Wretched Vitality on the back bar with a bow, Master's Lightning Staff on the front bar, Gaze of Sithis, Mythic Helm, and One Piece Magma. I mean, every bit of that are just like all my favorite sets in one build.
Yeah, this is you just put all your favorite sets on a build. That's the only chance that it stood against going against old Betsy.
That's true. That is true. He needed all the help he could get to compete here. So the offense, the combo, it's very basic. You start on the back bar and you open up with Degeneration to get your weapon and spell damage buff, and then swap to the front bar and hit them with Lightning Reach, which activates your Master Staff, and do 3 Force Pulses. And that's basically your combo. Lightning Reach, 3 Force Pulses. Lightning Reach, 3 Force Pulses. Because your Master Staff only lasts 4 seconds. So that's enough time to cast Force Pulse 3 times, and then you got to reactivate that staff.
Mm.
So you basically just keep doing that until they get low on health, and then you drop a meteor on their head, you stun them with the unblockable javelin, and you beam them to death. And they're just a pile of dust on the ground at that point. If you don't have the meteor, that's actually optional. You can just keep spamming. You keep doing your Lightning Reach Force Pulses until they're fairly low, and then just javelin beam. It works quite a bit, actually, even without the ultimate. I think you want to have 3 Bloodthirsty Jewelry, since it is such a, I don't even really know if you can call it a combo, you know, you're just kind of putting 2 dots on them and spamming a spammable is basically all you're doing. So the Bloodthirsty helps, because as soon as you kind of start eating into that health bar, then it just starts ramping up even more and more and more, and then you stick that beam on them, and that's the end of it. So I really do think the 3 Bloodthirsty is important to actually being a threat to people outside of that execute range. I like the cleanse as opposed to the bubble. It really is a personal preference, but I have the cleanse slotted. I also have Vigor, Honor the Dead. You know, the class armor buff, the rune gives you a really strong heal, plus the class healing ultimate. So very supportive, very difficult to kill, just even selfishly. You know, he's a very robust dude. Plus the fact that he's playing from long range, you know, he's kind of at a safe distance. He really very rarely dies. And he, you know, he perfectly exemplifies what I'm always saying is the strength of the Templar class. He's basically just a ranged version of Betsy. You know, he's super flexible, super adaptable to whoever he's playing with. You know, if we're on a team that already has a lot of support, sweet, I'm going to let them do support and I'm just going to be snatching up all the kills. If we are on a team that needs some support, I can slip into that role too, especially since he's a Magicka build. You know, Betsy's a stamina build, so he's even more effective when that is needed. That's what I love about Templar, is it doesn't matter what team you give me, I'm going to, kicking and screaming, drag them across the finish line. he's great at that. He's really, really good at that. I probably will put the torque of the Aeliad King on him. Very likely.
Jeez, here we go. Just every build that's going on.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be really good on Templar in particular. Templars work really well as stat builds. They're you know, one of the classes I think that work particularly well with stat builds, so it's going to be good for him, I think. And then just speaking of that really quick, I'll make this short, but I do want to very briefly talk about Betsy, because she probably is about to get this torque of the last Aeliad King, and that probably will be her build going forward. And she's had a long journey, old Betsy has. I created this character during the Somerset patch.
Oh, Betsy.
And bit by bit by bit by bit, I've tweaked this character. I've found bits and pieces of this build to just kind of continue making her a little more perfect, a little more perfect, a little more perfect, until we're where we're at right now, which is an amazing build. Couldn't ask for anything better. But this might be the last time we talk about this build on the show.
It's going to be set. Yeah, 8,200 weapon damage. My goodness.
How can I give that up? So I feel like while this still is her build, we need to talk about it one last time.
That's fair.
And we'll make it short, though. So her build is, I mentioned it earlier, it's Deadly Strikes as a double bar set, Wretched Vitality on the back bar with a bow, Black Rose Dual Wield on the front bar, Gaze of Sithis Mythic Helm, and One Piece Magma Incarnate. For a solo Battlegrounds build, I challenge you to find something better. It's, you know, as far as from the perspective of treat every match like a death match and my team's going to win, that's what Betsy does. You know, day in, day out, she puts in the work, she gets it done. It's the stack, the offenses, it's those stacking AoE pulses. So it's the Solar Barrage, Deadly Cloak from the dual wield skill line. The Crescent Sweep ultimate leaves that lingering AoE pulse, and you have jabs. So it's just a lot of AoE. We talked about this, I think, on the last episode. You know, it's nice because it's all, you don't require a target to cast any of those things. None of that stuff can be dodged. None of it can be cleansed. You know, if you're standing near someone, they're taking that damage. So you just kind of activate all these things and run in there. And there's really not a lot anyone can do about it. And it's very, very effective. It's great for brawling. Like if there's a kind of a big dog pile fight, you can just kind of activate all this stuff, jump into the pile. Since you're a Templar, we have all these heals, and this build is very survivable anyway. You can just kind of go ham, honestly. And because it's all this AoE, you're kind of hitting everyone at all the time. And then you just automatically, you just kind of naturally notice who's losing the most health. And without really even consciously thinking about it, you just sort of zero in on the squishy target and you find them, you know, and you take them out. Or you're helping your teammates find those targets. It's great. Great for that. And basically the same exact defensive bar that Butch, my range player that I just talked about, has. He has the Cleansing Circle, Vigor, Honor the Dead, the Rune, the Class Healing Ultimate. They basically have identical back bars.
Very nice.
Anyway, that's Betsy. Probably, you know, very likely the last time we'll talk about this amazing build that it's taken me years and years and years to refine and to perfection. And it's finally maybe meeting its demise.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me a little sad. It makes me a little sad.
He's by we've come full circle. Ket is now against the torque of the
I'm actually
King.
Composing my letter to Zoss right now, protesting this new mythic.
Yeah, he's against it. He's got so much emotion. He's been all sides of this new mythic.
No, I do. It is kind of a shame that but here is the thing though. It's not necessarily that this new mythic is better than this build. It's just more suitable to how I want this build to be. It's a similar amount of value. If I compare the two builds to each other, they have a similar amount of value. It's just that her current build, that value is allocated a little bit more on the defensive side. And something I've been saying about Betsy for a long time is, if I could, I would like to shave off some of that defensiveness for more damage. And that's exactly what this is giving me. So, you know, it's hard to pass it up.
Well, I also think it's important to note, you've always been a very much a fan of stat-based builds. This Aeliad King is going to be the full
that's,
stat.
That's a lot of stats. It's a bunch of stats.
That's all the stats.
Yeah. Also, I did just actually yesterday put up a build video for Old Betsy on YouTube. I haven't done it. I haven't made a build video in ages, but I just felt inspired to do that. So if you want to see, you want to hear kind of a more in-depth explanation of the play style and kind of where your mindset should be, and plus some pretty good footage of kind of demonstrating the build in action and all that stuff, just go search Cat Sparrowhawk on YouTube, and that's my most recent video there. scrollinpodcast@gmail.com. That is our email address. Please send us your emails. It can be Elder Scrolls Online related or not. You can make a suggestion for the show, ask us a question, say hello, shout out to a friend, anything you like. scrollinpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Every episode, Davius is going to choose his favorite email, and we're going to give him some gold. If they're on the PCNA server, that amount is going to be 100K. If they're on Xbox, Dotagon, is there like a direct like transfer rate there, or is it just however much you can come up with, or what?
I have no answer to any of those questions.
Sometimes the winner is Xbox people, and I send them over to the Xbox guild leader, and it's like, I don't know, tell them you won, and they'll give you some gold.
We give them something. It's usually just whatever we, Red says, normally 100K.
Okay.
There
hey, 100K is great. 100K, so you're matching the PC prize this week.
That's fancy.
We only have a presence on PC and Xbox NA, so if you're on any other platforms, you get nothing. But we appreciate you writing in anyway. The first email comes from Manny. Manny says, hi, my name is Manny, and I'm interested in joining your Discord server. I love your podcast and learning about ESO builds. Thanks, Manny. Thanks, Manny.
Wonderful.
Just short. Yeah, thanks for writing. Thanks, and Manny is in the Discord. Nice. So it's all been done. Next email, of course, it's time for the weekly Chumpy email. Chumpy writes, he says, okay, so I was going back and listening to some previous episodes, and I really enjoyed the Wanna Buy My Dog episode structure. Maybe I haven't heard a BG report before, but it felt cool getting another perspective. Love the rating system. Anywho, question for you guys. He says, I don't know what you guys look like, but I want to picture something. And I thought of this and it cracked me up. If you each were to describe the other using a race in Tamriel solely based on physical attributes, what would the other be? So to avoid an HR discrimination situation, I'm going to alter the request here. And we're just going to maybe describe ourselves or just associate ourselves with a race in the game. Davis, we don't even have to ask.
You know it, going Nord. Now, I will admit, I'm on the shorter side than most Nords. But other than that, yeah, we're going to go full Nord. Got the beard and everything, so.
Grizzly Gun says Davius is a wood elf in all caps. It's funny because of how not true it is.
how dare you, Chris?
Dedagon, what race are you in?
So I'm going to stick with my original answer because I saw the original question and you guys have no idea what I look like. So you're not going to be able to describe me. Right. So I'm just going to throw out there that I'm a sexy Argonian and we're going to move on.
Okay. Hey, that's perfect. That is perfect.
We need to get some sunscreen on you, Dedagon.
I feel like both in physical attributes and in like my personality, I would be a wood elf. I think that's would be the most fitting for me.
I will vouch for you on that. At the risk of the HR risk, I can vouch for you.
Yeah. So Chumpy says, loving the pod still. Keep up the awesome community and work, guys. Thank you, Chumpy. Great to hear from you again, man. Last email comes from Windsor. This was actually a comment on YouTube. We put the podcast on YouTube now. So this is from there. He says, just came across your channel and podcast. Awesome stuff. Would be great to get a link for the Discord. I play PlayStation NA, which makes me sad now, but really like the builds and discussions you have. Only been playing PvP religiously for a couple of months, and I'm just addicted now. Always thinking about builds and ideas at work. Would be great to talk to others about it and get into the community. Appreciate it and keep it up. Thanks, Windsor. Yeah, man. And Windsor's in there. Okay. So we have some PlayStation representation now.
Yeah.
It's nice.
We don't have a lot of PlayStation representation.
This is how it starts.
Yet.
Yeah.
It all begins. This is how it starts right here.
I mean, he heard how we started today. It just doesn't take much.
Nope.
There we go.
It just takes passion. Yeah. So, you found the right place. You like to talk about build ideas and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what we do here. But yeah, thanks for writing, Windsor. Davis, you got to pick a favorite. Which one?
All right. So I've got some theory crafting here. I believe Chumpy was our winner last week, if I remember correctly.
I believe so.
Or 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry.
It's accurate.
Last episode. And Windsor, I apologize. You're on PlayStation. We've got no way to get you anything.
No way. Can't do it.
So we're going to go Manny. Very, very cheerful Manny.
Manny?
Very kind, short and sweet email. So we're going to go Manny.
All right.
Manny, we got you covered.
Reach out to you. I mean, I can't remember the platform that they're on, but I will figure it out and we'll get you that gold Manny. scrollingpodcast@gmail.com. That's our email address. Please send us emails. We'd love to hear from you.
I got a food question for you guys.
Okay.
That's right.
What is it?
This is big.
So I'm from Philly. I want your cheesesteak order. The menu is in Discord. I've posted two pictures of your cheese options and topping options.
Man, this is intense. So you pick one from each section?
No, you can pick, you can do whatever you want. As much of what you want, you can get extra onions, extra fried onions if you want. Keep in mind, fried onions are just onions that have been cooked for a while on the grill.
Sure. Kat, you going first? You want me to go?
I can go first. I don't know if I'm going to like go through and like choose each individual ingredient. You know what I typically do with something like this? It's like an iconic meal or iconic dish. Is I just say, give me your house special. You know, like the way you make it, give it to me just like that. Mm. You know, whatever's in there, I'm going to eat it. So I'm probably not going to like special order that kind of thing most of the time. I will say I'm not a mushroom fan.
Me either. No mushrooms for me.
Definitely not ketchup. Definitely, I don't like mayonnaise either. But all the rest of that stuff looks great to me.
I think
the onions, the peppers, the cheese, all that.
I think I'm gonna try to pizzify this thing just by looking at the menu. I'm gonna add pepperonis, and then I'm gonna do marinara sauce.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wild! That's wild.
Yeah,
pizza
and then
steak.
I think I'm going to do the provolone.
Yeah, I would do maybe a sharp provolone. I don't think extra anything.
A lot of places will do mozz. They will do mozz for, this place doesn't, but for a pizza steak, they will. A lot of places.
Yeah, I think that's the way I would go. Gosh, now I'm hungry, Dudagon.
Why is cheese was an option here?
Because that's like, the iconic is fried onions and cheese whiz. That's probably what you would be getting
interesting.
If you ask.
Okay.
Yo, that's your order, Kat. You're getting the cheese whiz. Okay. You're asking
I'm
about
learning.
It. That's the
I'm
one
being
you're
educated
getting.
Today.
That's the one you're getting.
And there's also certain places, if you walked in and said, give me the way you want it, they would look and say next.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've had some interesting experiences in this place even, but yeah, it's pretty fun.
I experienced something like that, and this is off topic, but I visited Manhattan one time, and I went to a pizza place there, and it was like that, like if you hesitate for a moment when it's your time to order, it's next in line. They just freaking skip you.
I mean, that's just straight up Seinfeld episode right there.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, that's the problem. So I did that. That's my story. There was someone kind of in front of me in line, and he wasn't ordering. So the waitress kind of looked at me. I was like, I'll have this. And he looked at me. It's my turn. The waitress was like, not anymore. we don't have time. Yeah, you can be after this guy. Like, there's, but you clearly weren't ready.
Yeah, we gotta get the line moving, buddy. Come on,
gotta get going.
So we have a guild, Dudagon. Since you're one of the guild leaders on the Xbox platform, and you're representing that group of people here today, I thought maybe you could do the honors and do the guild plug today. What do you think?
Yeah, man, cool beans. So Stoon's Goons. We're literally the best PvP guild in the game, and we just so happened to be the best name guild on the PC NA and Xbox NA servers. Maybe PlayStation North America wins or cough, cough. We're also the official guild of the Scrollin' Podcast. To join the Discord, scrollinpodcast@gmail.com. If your guild list is full, doesn't matter. If you're on PlayStation, doesn't matter. Join the Discord. Everyone on the Discord is a fully fledged goon. Once again, scrollinpodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Beautifully done. Wow. Fantastic. That was unbelievable. That was nice.
I'm just going to save that portion of the audio and we're just going to insert that into every episode just, from now on as the guild plug.
You got to soundbite that thing right there.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Nice job, man.
Thank you.
And I second that. No matter what platform you play on, the Discord is the true home of the guild. In-game membership is encouraged, but not required. If you would like to support the show, there's a few easy ways you can do that. One real easy way is open up the Apple Podcast app and give us a star rating and especially a written review. It helps us out quite a bit, makes it easy for people to find our show. If you want to go a step further than that, you can go to patreon.com/scrollinpodcast and sign up to receive a number of benefits, one of which is the Booncast, which is a solo shorter episode that I solo podcast that I do on the off weeks, so you get a little something every week. If you're a member of the guild on Xbox or PC and A, you can just drop stuff in the guild bank. That helps quite a bit, just like crafting materials or even style pages, things that you think we might be able to sell for gold, potions. You know, we do a lot of theory crafting. We do a lot of build testing, and all of that stuff makes it here on the show, so that certainly is a very helpful way to contribute. And the best thing anybody can do is just join our community. Come hang out with us on the Discord and be our friend and talk about The Elder Scrolls Online with us. That is the main thing that fuels this show, is just talking about this stuff with friends. If you go through and listen to this podcast that we just had, you know, a lot of the conversations that we had here were just us just repeating conversations that we had with our friends in Discord for the past 2 weeks, you know. So that's a great way to help, just joining the Discord, scrollinpodcast@gmail.com. Shout out to the chat. Oh my goodness gracious. Avid Necro, Barbecue, Derp and Stuff, FK, Grizzly Khan, Matanza's Warrior, is that how I say it? Ricky Bass, Redhead Monster, Uncle Sam. There was probably some more earlier. It was a long list.
Yeah, I feel
list.
Like we had some more in there. Just a packed house.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Full party tonight.
Dedagon, you'll have to come on more often so we can actually get some people in the chat. It's been nice.
Hey, man. It's a good time.
It has been a great time.
It has been.
Another shout out to Uncle Sam, Sir Newbie, Garion, Maddie Quinn, Shoddy Magician, Ricky Bass, Outlaw Red. I'm probably missing some people, but we've all just kind of been playing a lot here lately, doing a lot of BGs, a lot of Imperial City. Oh, FK, he's been in there a lot lately, too. Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for just hanging out. It's been fun. Shout out to the Elder Goons, the OGs, the people that have been around a long time. Thank you guys for just sticking around and being a part of this community, being the foundation of the community. Really appreciate you guys. And shout out to our ever-growing list of our Stoons Boon recipients, our Patreon supporters, Porkbody, Toadster, Gummy Bear, Grizzly Khan, Thomas, Taggard, Mother of Dragons, Sudica, Jim, Maxwell, Derpenstuff, Dedagon, Brewerman, Brock. We've gotten two new ones since last time, Redhead Monster and Chumpy.
Awesome.
Xbox bringing it.
thank you so much, guys. You can't tell you how much that we appreciate it, and it really does help. I hope you've noticed the YouTube channel. There's been a lot more activity on there lately. That's a direct result of the support. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, if you didn't notice, Dedagon's name was in that list there. Davis, anything else before we sign off, man?
Just one last shout out for the chat, and one huge thank you, Dedagon. It has been awesome, man. It's been so much fun having you on, and just what you've done on Xbox and what you guys have built there is just, it's fantastic. Like, it's really, really cool to see what you guys have done.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Dedagon, thank you again very much for being here, man. Anything else you want to say before we sign off here?
Yeah, quick announcement for the Xbox goons. I put it into the Discord, but we're having our first Goon Wars this Saturday. So
yes,
I mean, nice. I don't. We're getting close to full already, so it should be a good time, and we're super excited.
I'm pumped. I'm going to be there as a spectator, most certainly.
Yeah, we'll stream them. I don't know if you guys can watch them without an Xbox account, but they will be streamed to be watched, all the matches. So
we'll see what we can do. Well, at least hang out and just have fun anyway.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being here, man. We'll have to do this again sometime. It's been really fun. And thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Star Jumper here is brutal when it comes to Magic, dude. Okay, you're talking to this man. He's all nice and polite and just like the most wholesome person you've ever met until you start playing Magic the Gathering. Okay, and then
he's gonna slap me in the face or something. Like, put that mana down.
He literally reaches across the table and slaps you in the face.
Just not just once, just repeatedly. I can't control it. The urge takes over.
When was that? Trample? Is that one of the things when you? Yeah. When
that's
you,
a thing. That's an MTG term for sure.
When you trample someone, you got to slap them in the face. It's the rule.
It's true.